Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 59. It's July 21st, 2020. We're all familiar with the adage that practice is the best teacher. There is, biologically speaking, no substitute for attentive repetition. Nothing you can do, talking, thinking, reading, imagining, is more effective in building skill than executing the action. Firing the impulse down the nerve fiber, fixing errors, honing the circuit. One way to illustrate this truth is through a riddle. What's the simplest way to diminish the skills of a superstar talent short of inflicting an injury? What would be the surest method of ensuring that LeBron James started clanking jump shots or that Yo-Yo Ma started fudging chords? The answer? Don't let them practice for a month. Causing skill to evaporate doesn't require chromosomal rejiggering or black ops psychological maneuvers. It only requires that you stop a skilled person from systematically firing his or her circuit for a mere 30 days. Their muscles won't have changed. Their much vaunted genes and character will remain unaltered. But you will have touched their talent at the weakest spot in its armor. Myelin, as Bart Zokas reminds us, is living tissue. Like everything else in the body, it's in a constant cycle of breakdown and repair. That's why daily practice matters, particularly as we get older. As Vladimir Horowitz, the virtuoso pianist who kept performing into his 80s, put it, "If I skip practice for one day, I notice. If I skip practice for 2 days, my wife notices. If I skip practice for 3 days, the world notices." Repetition is invaluable and irreplaceable. There are, however, a few caveats. With conventional practice, more is always better. Hitting 200 forehands a day is presumed to be twice as good as hitting 100 forehands a day. Deep practice, however, doesn't obey the same math. Spending more time is effective, but only if you're still in the sweet spot, at the edge of your capabilities, attentively building and honing circuits. What's more, there seems to be a universal limit for how much deep practice human beings can do in a day. Erickson's research shows that most world-class experts, including pianists, chess players, novelists, and athletes, practice between 3 and 5 hours a day, no matter what skill they pursue. People at most of the hotbeds I visited practiced less than 3 hours a day. The younger Spartak kids, ages 6 to 8, practiced a mere 3 to 5 hours each week, while older teens ratcheted up to 15 hours a week. The Little League baseballers of Curaçao, some of the world's best, play only 7 months a year, usually 3 times a week. There were some exceptions. Meadowmount, for instance, insists on 5 hours of daily practice for its 7-week course. But on the whole, the duration and frequency of practice in hotbeds seemed reasonably sane, proving what I saw in Clarissa's practices of Golden Wedding and the Blue Danube. When you depart the deep practice zone, you might as well quit. This jibes with what tennis coach Robert Lansdorp has witnessed. Lansdorp, who's in his 60s, is to tennis coaching what Warren Buffett is to investing, having worked with Tracy Austin, Pete Sampras, Lindsay Davenport, and Maria Sharapova. He is amused by the need of today's tennis stars to hit thousands of ground strokes every day. "You ever watch Connors practice? You ever watch McEnroe or Federer?" Lansdorp asks. "They didn't hit 1,000. Most of them barely practice for an hour. Once you get timing, it doesn't go away." Intrigued, I excitedly started to explain to Lansdorp about myelin, how it insulates circuits, how it grows slowly when we fire those circuits, how it takes 10 years to get to world class. I got about 20 seconds into my explanation when Lansdorp cut me off. "Sure, of course," he said, nodding with the lordly style of someone who knows myelin more intimately than a neurologist ever could. "It has to be something like that." That's another short bit from the Talent Code. I'm curious if this will ever lead to any of y'all buying a whole book for those of you that are listening along. Talent Code's really cool. I'm going to also get back into Culture Code. I'm not sure I ever finished Culture Code, actually. One of many books I probably, you know, I think I finished, or I'm not sure I finished. Maybe I finished, don't remember. Talent Code I definitely did and devoured, and I wrote all over this thing. I like it a lot, and it has me really now conscious about daily practices and what am I working on and how to build in more routines, to build more skill. And this notion that even among the experts, you gotta keep after it. You cannot let down your guard, as it were. It's going to be interesting, I think, now that these professional and, I suppose, collegiate contact sports, heck, maybe even high school football here in Texas is about to begin again. But this idea in the bit earlier, that if you want to disrupt an expert, just don't let them practice for a month. All of these sports that have been disrupted presents an interesting challenge to these world-class athletes. Presumably, they've all made it into the league because they are incredibly naturally gifted and have outworked everybody else all along the way. So a little disruption, a major disruption, both, is not as likely to disrupt their routines as maybe the rest of us. These people have discipline. That said, it will be interesting to see, because if anybody out there, any of these people got lazy, the margin between the very top golfer, say, and the 100th ranked or 200th ranked is actually precariously thin. It's a few strokes here and there. And so letting down their guard could prove incredibly punishing. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with baseball that I believe starts this week. I think the Rangers host the Rockies, and it counts. It's a Major League Baseball game, a shortened season of 60. Really fascinating. It's also somewhat awkward from a fan experience, and I'm sure for the athletes, that there will be no fans in the park, in the stadium. It will be quiet. It would be interesting, I think, if there was an opportunity to have rated R broadcasts where we could hear all the trash talk, we could hear everything that's said at this point, because there's no fan noise to interfere. But will they all be at the top of their game, having all their routines disrupted? In one of these books, I think it's one of Charles Duhigg's books, Smarter, Faster, Better, something like that. But it might be, I don't remember. But there's this incredible passage about the routines of Michael Phelps. If I can dig it out, maybe I'll read it tomorrow. But his daily routine is so, probably not these days, but maybe so. Certainly when he was competing and into the rhythm of final, you know, prep for a meet, Olympic or otherwise, every single facet of his day was identically choreographed day after day after day. He and his coach wanted winning a race just to be a natural extension, something that he just went through millions of times. I think there's something in there too, that even he had a race when his goggles, they didn't come off, but like one of them was leaking or something, he couldn't see. And he was able to win that race too, because he just was able to go into autopilot more or less. And so that level of control and discipline and focus, I truly can't imagine like ruthlessly destroying, eliminating, blocking anything other than the pursuit of this goal, because that's what it must take at the truly, truly world-class level to imagine there's something that people can do, chess or swimming, it doesn't really matter. There's some discipline, and no one alive can do it better than you. to try to imagine what that mountain really is and how to get to the top of it and how to stay there once you are there. That's the thing, too, with golfers. It's fascinating to me. I can see, I suppose, how you would get hot or just the luck of the draw. You're good enough and the putts fall that week or something. You just become really, you have a great week. You've got all the attributes, all the assets, and you have a great week or two. But how, amongst the best golfers in the world, a collection of them, separate themselves and maintain that level of consistency over weeks, months, and years? It's truly astounding. It's not something that I can really internalize. I wonder to what extent, like, are they all, to what extent they're like Michael Phelps with that much control and discipline. It's interesting stuff. And with Talent Code, the idea, this whole notion of repetition, I do have, you know, some experience with things like Duolingo. I should stick to it more. They've done a very good job of the UI and kind of gamifying things, showing you streaks, and you're unlocking badges and things. My daughter is using various tools these days with all schooling virtualized, and she's really enjoying it and the freedom to just go do things. And what's fascinating is she can see the tabs for the different grades. She will enter first grade this fall, but she's bouncing all over the place. Third, fourth, fifth grade stuff, language arts, even math. And you can imagine, you know, when I say badges, you're probably picturing yes, there are skills and so you prove proficiency in a certain skill and there's a badge of some kind. And what's nice too, though, with these things is they reinforce also, it's like there's other badges for daily streaks and for aggregate quantities reached in various ways. And it's a cool layering. Hopefully what'll happen is if you're old enough, I'm old enough, I can remember when there was Microsoft Word, but Word Perfect and a couple of other popular word processing packages. There was VisiCalc and Lotus 1-2-3 and Excel. There were others, and they had different menuing. And this is back in the day when, like, it was news when a new Pentium chip or something came out, because it mattered. There was an increase in capability that was noticeable. For a while now, really, that's all largely plateaued. And iPhones kind of went through the same thing, and tablets. It's like they reach good enough status, and it's harder and harder for them to achieve those leaps until some other, you know, paradigm comes along. Back in those days, the menuing was different, and then at some point, they, you know, there would be some feature that maybe came out first on Lotus 1-2-3 or Excel, vice versa, and then they would get copied in the next release of the other, until they kind of mapped out, hey, here's what spreadsheets do, here's what word processing does. But what's really cool, if you think about it, is you can go file, edit, view, window in basically everything now. That's all clean and standardized. Once you know how to use one, you kind of are much more comfortable using all of them. If you get into Photoshop or other things, and there's, you know, there's new skills, new layers, and I'm not really talking about practicing using these software tools, though that's apt. Just, you know, the Talent Code kind of idea, and learning to do, building these skills, But I'm also talking about how ideally, for all these things we might learn, from playing the guitar to playing chess to you know, writing code, that can we get to a file edit view window of these things so that they're very similar, and that, and if not sort of truly harmonized, I hope that's where we get. I hope that we get a lot better at identifying all these skills out there. The best we can do now is often is to go look at a bunch of job descriptions. What career path are you on? What do you want to, you know, if somebody works in big companies, it's like, well, what are the career tracks? What are the bullet points? What are the requirements at the next level? And figure out ways to go learn how to do those things, get new responsibilities, or do stuff outside of your particular job that evidence doing it. And often you kind of have to fake your way into the next level. And then only after the fact, like get in the chair, and then only after the fact, go learn how to do what's required of the person who sits in that chair. That happens. But just nationally, what skills are really truly needed next, and what are the ways that people can start to go develop those skills and prove that they've got them? There's just so much out there. And for all of us too, just leveling up our skills in every which way, around the house, with our cars, personal finance, and everywhere you look, there's good stuff to learn. And it's clear from just swimming back through some of these books and articles and things that there's learning how to learn. And it seems like we're due for a major, massive upgrade there, so that everybody can level up. I like Julian Simon's idea mentioned in the closing of Ultimate Resource, that wealth isn't just physical assets. It's really knowledge, store of knowledge. And so the more we can do to increase that, the asset base that's in the minds and bodies of everybody in the country, it will enrich us all. That's been on my mind quite a bit lately. It is not yet 6:30 in the morning, which is really cool. I got up at 4:30. The alarm was to go off at 4:50, and I woke up about 20 minutes before it on my own and fully rested, and so started my day. And I've already gotten several other things done, and I'm sitting here drinking coffee, and the sun's about to come up. I'll go walk the dog. Pretty sweet. I hope every day will more or less be like this. 4:30 is a great time to get up and get started and have just elongates the day. And even I'm not even necessarily trying to like hit the ground at 100 miles an hour. It's fine to just be even just puttering about. I've managed to do quite a bit more than just putter about today, but even on those days, it's just great. Get up and just thumb through a book or take my time getting started. It's wonderful. Wonderful thing. So that's a good new habit personally. And I continue to think about golf, maybe picking up the clubs again. Maybe what I'll do is finish rereading that chapter of Ben Hogan, chapter one, starting with the grip, and I'll get a grip. And he advocates, per the talent code passage today, I went and found this thing on repetition because I was thinking about it after reading the bit I did yesterday from Ben Hogan. where he's talking about 10 to 15 minutes a day for a good, you know, for a couple of weeks, and then 30 minutes a day simply gripping a golf club, not even swinging it yet, certainly not even hitting a golf ball, but just practicing the grip, getting a grip. So I might go find the golf bag in the garage. It's in some sort of old travel case. Get out a club, bring it inside. That's step number one. And then turn that into a daily practice. It's just easy to do. And I'm eager to have certain things in the mix now, applying some of these ideas I've been rereading lately, which is a lot of fun. Y'all have a good day. Thanks.